Chaitanya Bhagavat class by Vrindavan Das Thakur onto Leela chapter 10. This is the Advaitacharya Mahima. And where we are right now is Jagannath Puri, and it's just before Chaturmasya. And all the devotees have come from Mayapur and Navadvip and Shantipur to meet with Lord Chaitanya. But as it's told, whenever one goes to meet the Guru or to see Thakurji, Sri Krishna, he shouldn't come with empty hand. He should come with bhoga, money, cloth, grains, something. So Damayanti, Raghava Pandit, and Sita Devi, Advaita, Shivananda Sen, all their wives, they're all coming with big bags of prasadam. They're coming and bringing big bags of prasadam to offer, actually bhoga, to offer to Lord Chaitanya. As you know, Krishna consciousness starts from the basics and goes all the way up to the most unbelievably ecstatic limits of prema, prem sima, the Madanakya Mahabhava Radharani. But even the basic principles and practices of singing, dancing, eating are also performed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are part of the elementary practices that we all begin with. We all hear and chant about Krishna, and we also dance and take prasadam. And we see Lord Chaitanya doing the same things, but then of course he's going deeper and deeper into Krishna consciousness. So we shouldn't spend our whole lives just hearing and chanting and taking prasadam without going deep. Ultimately, his hearing, his dancing, his hearing and his chanting ended up in the Gambhira. Gambhira is the deepest experience of Krishna, where he's actually experiencing Radharani's Vipralamba Prem. So here, this whole description, it's the description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's taking, honoring bhoga in the houses of the devotees in Jagannath Puri. It's something we often do. Devotees get together and they sit in the association of the Lord or their Guru or other Vaishnavas, and they honor prasadam. So here's Lord Chaitanya. All these Vaishnava ladies have come carrying so many bhoga offerings. And then when they get to Puri, they're staying for 4 months. And their habit is to every night invite Lord Chaitanya to come to their home for lunch, prasadam, take prasadam. So this is their what's being described by Vrindavan Das Thakur, how they would cook the food for Lord Chaitanya. They knew exactly what he liked also. It wasn't random cooking. The ladies knew very much what Nimai Pandit liked when he was in Navadvip, and now he's Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the sannyasi in Puri. But usually our habits, our likes and dislikes continue with us throughout our life. So Lord Chaitanya liked shak when he lived in Navadvip, and he also liked shak when he lives in Puri. So they're cooking these same things. Purve Ishvara Priti E Sabhavyanjane Navadvipe Sri Vaishnavi Sabe Taha Jane. Those Vaishnavis, those lady devotees, that mostly the wives of the devotees, they knew what vegetable preparations Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liked when he previously lived in Navadvip. So they were Purve Ishvara Priti, the Ishvara Purva. Before, when they had Ishvara Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they knew what Vyanjana, what subjects he loved, Priti. Prima joge te mata karena randhan prabhuo parma preme karena bhojan. Therefore, all these devoted ladies of Lord Chaitanya, they cook those preparations which the Lord likes, and they cook them with love. Prem yog. And the Lord also ate all their offerings with great love. They cooked with great love, and they offered with great love, and he accepted and relished with great love. So as in everything with the Lord, it's simply an exchange of love. We offer our love to the Lord, and he offers his love back to us. Even in the cooking, they're cooking with love. Prem yog. This is you can't imagine when a lady goes in, or a man for that matter, goes in to prepare bhoga for the Lord's pleasure. They're cooking with love. And it says that Lord Chaitanya, Prabhu Parama Preme Karina Bhojan, that Prabhu Mahaprabhu, with great love, Parama, he enjoyed what they offered. So what we offer, if we offer the best thing we have, our hearts, the offering of our hearts, we may not be rasoi walas or walis. We may not be cooks, but we all have an offering to make. Arpanam. It says, mantan dan Krishna samarpan. So this is, the point I'm making is, we're talking about Jagannath Puri Leela. Mahaprabhu's devotees have all come, all the husbands and wives. The ladies are very excited to cook for the Lord and invite him every day for prasadam. And we just heard that they're cooking with prem yoga. They're cooking with great love, love and care, careful love and attention. And they offer it to the Lord. Then it said he ate with parama prema. So the point I'm making is, we may not be cooks, but we all have an offering to make, arpanam. Mantan dan Sri Krishna's samarpan. Arpan means offering. So what is the offering? Well, basically, whatever we're offering is our love. Our love in our speaking, our love in our chanting, our love in our puja, our love in our reading. This is an offering. Bhakti devotion means an offering of love. The Lord is waiting to receive our love. That's all. Everything is coming from him. Everything is coming from him except our love. All the objects that we offer to him are his. He's created everything in this world. All the trees, fruits, cloth, money, gold, silver, everything. And with those articles, you may prepare or offer something directly to the Lord. But it's all his. But what is individual to the jiva is his own repository of love. That's his. That's ours. That's our individual property rights, our love. So whatever we're offering is basically, it's just a means, it's a vehicle to infuse our love, to mix our love. We mix our love in the bhoga. We mix our love in the chanting. We mix our love in the reading. When we're speaking about Radha and Krishna, Gauranga, we're thinking, they're here listening to me. Radha and Krishna are here listening to me. And how correctly we want to speak, and how... And they'll be observing me. Am I interested speaker? Do I love the subject matter that I'm speaking about? Am I speaking with loving interest? Am I speaking with loving care for those that are hearing? There's one phrase we heard one person. He said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So you may not know very much. You may not be Vidvan or Chaturvedi or Shastra Nipun, our great Shastriji or Pandit, and there's so many, of course, Sanskrit and fully realized. And they're speaking, and hopefully they're giving you tattva-gyan, knowledge, and their love. But we're all devotees, so whenever we speak, or whenever we offer any preparation for the Lord, it should be full of love. So one by one, the devotees are asking Lord Chaitanya, please come to our house and honor my wife's cooking of bhog. And of course, Mahaprasad was always there. You see, the nature, the svabhava of Lord Chaitanya is the same as the nature of his devotees. We are part and parcel of Krishna. We're also part and parcel of Gauranga. We often think, oh, I'm part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is telling in Gita, but when Krishna becomes Gauranga, then we also expand to become part and parcel of Gauranga. Because the living entities, as the Lord expands, then his devotees and living entities also expand. So we find in Gaudiya Vaishnavism that the prayojan, the goal that's generally presented by our acharyas, and it's actually two sides of the same reality. Like someone might say, I'm a Gaudiya Vaishnava, and I'm a worshiper of Radha and Krishna, in the moods of Braj Bhav, taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then we understand I'm part and parcel of Krishna. Someday I'll get my Siddha Sarup. It's called Sarup Siddhi, my spiritual form. And I'll go and I'll serve Radha and Krishna. But Radha and Krishna, that same Radha and Krishna that we're serving or desiring to serve, they also have a plane of Leela called the Audarya Leela, when the two become one. When Radha and Krishna unite, they become Gauranga. So now, when Radha and Krishna come, then all their associates come with them. Now Radha and Krishna become male Gauranga, so all their sakis, if they want to be with that male form of their Radha and they're Krishna, then they have to generally take male forms. So you see in Gauralila, all of his associates primarily, except of course his mother and his two wives, etc., and the elderly Brahmanis, they were all men. And all of Krishna's associates were women. If you look at the parallel tracks here. So when Krishna became Gauranga, which is Radharani and Krishna together, then all the associates are men, basically, if you look at them all. And then men and their wives, but you hardly hear the names of the wives. So therefore, when Krishna, when all those servants that are Sakis and Mandri, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and Gauralila is Lalita Sakhi, and Rai Ramananda is Vishakha Sakhi, Rupa Goswami, and so many pundits and Goswamis are surrounding him, and they are also various Pran Sakhis, Nitya Sakhis of Radharani. So the Jivas, when they attain perfection, they get Sarup. Sarup Siddhi, they get a Siddha Sarup in Krishna Leela. In any one of the four rasas, you can become Krishna's servant, a Das, or his friend, or his Sakhi, or his mother, in the mood of a mother, this Vatsalya Bhav. Now, what happens when he goes to Gauralila? Then we also take a spiritual form. We have two. Oh, how is it one becomes two? The one jiva becomes two. The one jiva that now has two forms. Very interesting. As one, so the same Rupa Goswami is also simultaneously Rupa Manjari. The same Sanatana Goswami is simultaneously Vilas Manjari. And different names are given in some different shastras. So therefore, we will have a form, a spiritual form as a Brahman, a young Brahman, mostly all young, in Navadvip, Nitya Navadvip. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be 16 or so in Navadvip, 15 years, 9 months, 7.5 days. And then we as is the Jagadananda Pandit and Gadadhar Pandit and Gangadas Pandit and everyone, we'll be like a little bit same age or a little bit younger. So we'll be Brahmins, we'll be his friends in a spiritual body. Just like you may see, oh, I'm going to serve Krishna and Balaram. I want to be a coward boy. Some people may think that this comes up, this awakens as they study shastras more and more, and they become very interested in Krishna's pastimes. So therefore, this point is that we are also part and parcel of Krishna, and we have our spiritual form in his Leela. We're also part and parcel of Krishna's Gauranga, and we have our spiritual form in his Leela. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this also in Jaiva Dharma, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, and other places. And we have two, and so many. If you read Lago Bhagavatamritam by Rupa Goswami, and also Sandarvas by Jiva Goswami, you see that as the Lord, Krishna, Bhagavan, can have infinite expansions and not to Rupam. His servants, according to his will, can also have infinite expansions. It's like Narada Muni went into the palaces and he saw in Dwarka. In Dwarka Leela, Narada Muni was visiting. Narada Muni simultaneously visited 16,000 palaces at the same time because he wanted to witness what Krishna was doing in each palace. Because there's 16,000, and he saw there's 16,000 forms of Krishna in each palace, with each queen, and the Mukhya Mahishis, the primary queens and secondary one, and at the same time in each palace he's doing something different. So now, in each palace there was a Vasudev, and there was a Devaki, who were the mother and father of Vasudev Sri Krishna. There was Rohini, there was Dalji, there was Balaram. So these are all the servants of Krishna, and expansions and servants. So, and there were 16,000 Narada Munis also. So there's so many pastimes that show how the living entity can also expand into so many forms. Sridham Sakha, one of his forms is Garuda. He's also expands as Garuda, carrier of Vishnu. So this is multi-level. You talk about multi-level marketing. There's multi-level marketing of your own spiritual body. So if you thought one spiritual body, Sarup Siddhi, wasn't enough to confuse you, you have at least two. just keep it that way. You have one form in Gauralila. You might say, oh, I'm Punjabi. I'm from North India. I don't know this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's Bengali God. he's for Bengalis. I worship Ram. I worship Shiv, Parvati, Ram, Radha Krishna, Sita Ram. Bas. This Haribol, Haribol, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is some other thing. But actually, any in this age of Kali, practically, if you want to attain Radha and Krishna, that all-merciful door of Gauranga is practically the only way. You can also attain Radha and Krishna in the Nimbark Sampradaya. It was very popular in North India, Nimbark, because they have Sakivav. But Gaudiya, the Gaudiya Sampradaya also has Sakivav, and a few others also. But the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even if you see other people that are promoting worship of Radha and Krishna, most of the time they're reading from Gaudiya Vaishnava Shastras. Most of the time they're references for the Leelas and Tattvas or some books of the Goswamis. Let's go on. So now different people are inviting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for prasad. Now it's Advaitacharya. Ek din Shri Advaita Singha Mahamati Prabhure Balila Aji Vikshukara Iti. One day, magnanimous lion-like Advaitacharya requested Lord Gauranga, please take your lunch at my house today. Mushyeka Tandula Prabhu Randiba Apan Hastamora Danya Hau Tamara Bhakshane. Advaita goes on, Prabhu, I will cook only a handful of rice. Please accept it so that my hands will become glorious. There's a lot of Siddhanta and Niyam behind this. He's saying, I will only cook a handful of rice. He says, Mushtyeka Tandula Prabhu. Why one handful? Because in sannyasi, strict sannyasi, in this vairagya, martanda, this path of vairagi, they say that the human stomach is like this. You take two hands and put together, everyone can go like that, and make a little like this. This is the size of your stomach, your pate. Ye pate, ye chura, ye niche, upar. This is it. Now, how many pakoras you can fit in there? how much samosa, how much samosas and kachoris, how much rubbery, how much chaval? It's only this big, no? It's two hands. But it seems like we eat like one basketball, you know? one football, you know? One. We eat, it's somehow this becomes this. So the sannyasi, in the Niyama sannyasi, he goes, oh ma, madukari, some bog de do. So he begs with two hands, but they only put in one hand. Because the sannyasi is only supposed to fill his stomach halfway, out of pate, you know, pura, only full, half. Because in one, so that's why the Advaitacharya says, I'm only going to cook one handful of rice for you. So don't think that you'll break your sannyas niyam. The different niyam, rules and regulations for brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. So he's sannyas, niyam, his laws, rules and regulations. So he says, don't worry. So you sometimes, so people when sannyasis go to take prasad in some grihastha's house, they keep piling up the plate like so much, like this, you know. And of course they can't take it all. But this is one palm, you know, so... Just remember that next time you sit down to eat, that if you're a brahmachari renunciate, then it should be, you know, you should eat with only like, you should say, oh, okay, how much will fit in one hand? At one sitting, you may sit five times a day, okay, fine, but each time take one handful, not three times a day, 20 handfuls. That is basic things, but this is there. So he's trying to make sure that Lord Chaitanya comes. And if you accept it, then my hands will become glorious. Prabhu Bale, Jai Jana Tomara Anakai, Krishna Bhakti Krishna Se Paya Sarvatai. Mahaprabhu replied, whoever eats rice cooked at your house, Advaitacharya, certainly attains Krishna and his devotional service. Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Se Paya Sarvatai. So that's powerful. Ana. Prem Anamrit. Prem Anamrit. This is Prem Anamrit. That the grains that he's cooking at Sita Devi, Sitanath, and Sita Devi, what they're cooking for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Puri to serve him when on their invitation, their mantran. It's so pure and so full of love that Lord Chaitanya is eagerly looking forward to it. And I know when you travel and preach around the world, there are certain places where sannyasis go, and they regularly go in some towns where there's some temple to preach, of course, or other places. And there's famous Vaishnava ladies, you know, Grihastha ladies, that cook with such love and devotion that regularly the sannyasis go there to that particular house. And Prabhupada was in Bombay, Kartikeya, he was staying in Kartikeya's house. And his wife was very, you know, devotional cook, and they have deities in their house. So she was sometimes cooking for Prabhupada. So it really makes a difference. And I remember I went to different temples. They said, would you like to take, you know, prasadam? This lady cooks. And I said, oh, who's this lady? Oh, everyone take, all the sannyasis they take. I said, why is that? What is her speciality? And then they say that she's so devotional and so much love that she's, this Vaishnava lady, devotee lady, is putting into her food that the devotees are so much appreciating. It's practical. Sannyasis aren't going there because they're getting paid or anything, but they feel there's something special in this bhog that she's offering us, or prasadam, obviously. So that's what Lord Chaitanya is understanding, that I'll get bhakti if I'll eat food from your hand. This is amazing, because this means that the food that we offer to someone carries our bhav, it carries our consciousness. It's carried in the food. But he's saying, I'm going to eat anakata. I'm going to eat ana, grains from your hand, and that those grains are going, that ana will give me Krishna bhakti labhyate. I'll get Krishna bhakti from your food, the prasad. Mahaprasade govinde nama brahmani vaishnave sopampanivadarajan vishvasone vajayate. So those that don't have vishvas in Brahman or Krishna prasad, they say, oh, how is it possible? How is it possible? Simply by eating kachori and some chutney cooked by shuddha bhakt, by pure bhakta, then I'll get prema? How is it possible? That means you have doubt, shamshaya. You have doubt. But Mahaprasad Govinda, this is all transcendental. Mahaprasad Govinda, Govinda Na, Mahaprasad Vaishnav. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, see this bhog that's cooked by Sita Devi, the wife of Vaitacharya, is so pure and so full of love that if you take this, you get bhakti. So that's how we should cook. We should cook and prepare bhoga for the Lord with so much devotion and so much love that if anyone takes it, what to speak of ourselves, what to speak of Krishna, that Krishna will accept it and someone will actually get prema from that. And there's so many accounts of devotees going like absolutely mad by taking Mahaprasadam. And that in Chaitanya Mangal, that account is there. Narada Muni gave a tiny itsy bitsy morsel of Narayan Mahaprasadam, Vishnupam Prasad, to Shiv. And he started Tandava Nritya dance in the Puranas. He was going crazy just by the ecstatic experience of the love by just a portion of the bhoga cooked by Lakshmi Devi. In the early days, Prabhupada used to cook sometimes. He used to make halava and show the devotees how to make halava, kheer, and kachoris. And the devotees, even to this day, they can remember not only the taste of that preparation made by Prabhupada, but the prabhav, the swad and the prabhav, the taste and the effect, the powerful effect. They say, I can still remember how blissful we felt or happy we felt. So this is, Lord Chaitanya is confirming that point. Acharya tomara anna amara jivan tumi kalyalehaya krishnera bhojan. Oh Acharya, your rice is my life. Tomara anna amara jivan. Imagine what a bhajan that is. Tomara anna amara jivan. Tomara anna amara jivan. Your anna, your grains are they're my amar in Bengali. This is my life. Of course, we know that jal jivan, water is life, grains are life. All living entities subsist on food grains. Anad bhavati bhutani parchanyada sambhava. Krishna is telling in Gita that all living entities survive on eating food grains. So he's saying it's life, but he's saying life means that the prema that's in your grains, that's the life. The Krishna bhakti inside your grains, that's the life I'm appreciating. And then he says, Krishna certainly eats whatever you cook. So that means if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is certifying that what Dvaitacharya is cooking and his wife, he's saying certainly Krishna eats what you're preparing. That means if there's certainty about Krishna accepting your offerings, there also must be some doubt about whether he accepts it. It means Lord Chaitanya is certifying, yes, Advaita, Krishna has accepted your offering. Why? Because it's full of prema. So then the converse must be true, that Krishna is free not to accept an offering. Just because we make an offering, oh Krishna, here's the bell, here's a tulsi, here, take this offering. Oh yes, I have to take it. You offered it. It has tulsi leaf on it. And you rang the bell, and I accept everything offered with tulsi. Krishna accepts everything offered with tulsi. That's what the Shastra said. But it also says, everything offered with love. Yome bhakti prayachati. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakti prayachati. That verse is telling, yes, offer tulsi leaf. Offer patram pushpam. First, whatever you offer, if you offer, patram is the first thing. Because when you offer flowers in Vrindavan, you may not notice. But whenever you offer flowers, and you buy flowers from the Mali, at least traditionally, they give you garlands. They put it in a leaf cup, a leaf. Then they put some tulsi leaves on top of the garland. Because the niyam is, in all the temples, traditionally, it's in the Shastra also, that no pujari can accept a flower mala without tulsi on it or in it. So then when you buy a mala, now maybe they want to cut corners or save, but... And pujaris don't know. But if you go to any temple, Radharaman or whatever, it offers, they say, where's the tulsi? Because nothing, even flowers can't be offered without tulsi. So that's why he says, patram pushpam phalam toyam. So that patram, in that verse from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, whatever verse it is, patram pushpam phalam toyam, I don't know if it's 4 or not, but whatever, that verse, it says that there must be tulsi leaf with fruit must be tulsi leaf. With the water, there must be tulsi leaf. With whatever, patram, pushpam, phalam toyam. So this is the first point. Now, but that doesn't mean the Krishna is going to accept it. If there's love is there, pure devotion is there, Krishna will certainly accept it. That's what Lord Chaitanya is saying. This is what we should learn here. And then Lord Chaitanya goes on. Tumi ye naivedya kara Kariya randan, magi jhao kaite amar tahi man. Advaita, when you offer an offering, when you prepare an offering for Krishna, I am ready to eat, and I'm even ready to beg for the remnants. Of course, that's the intense loving reciprocation between Advaita Acharya and Gauranga Mahaprabhu over this particular Leela, Bhoja, it's called Bhojan Leela. One of Krishna's Leelas is Bhojan. Gauranga's Bhojan Leela and Krishna's Bhojan Leela. Everyone's familiar. Bhojan Thali and Kamyavan. And so many pastimes about that. But here, what's the reciprocation here is the mutual appreciation. How much Gauranga Mahaprabhu appreciates his devotees. Their seva bhav, their intensity of desire to please him, and then he's glorifying at the same time he's accepting the offering of Advaitacharya and also glorify him. He said, I'll even beg, not only will I accept what you offer to Krishna, I'm willing to beg for it. Shunina prabhura bhakta vatsalata vani ki anande advaita basena nahi jani. Vrindavanas Thakur says, who can understand the ecstasy Advaita felt when he heard such affectionate words from the Lord? Bhakta vatsalata vani. Words that Prabhu's vani. Shunya Prabhu vani. Shunya. When Advaita Acharya heard Prabhu's vani, Gauranga Mahaprabhu's words, then He just felt completely soothed and comforted and encouraged and happy, like a child in his mother's embrace, like a child being complimented by his mother. And this is the words of the Lord, or says, Vatsalata. They have the tendency, Bhakta Vatsalya, the words of the Lord have the tendency, they're actually saturated with affection for his devotees. And Krishna speaks with great love for his devotees, with loving concern. There's something very nice about this phrase. Bhakta Vatsalata Vani. This is a lakshana, a characteristic of Gauranga's speech. We read in the 64 qualities of Krishna that one of his qualities is Supragyata Bhashena. Says he's expert in all different languages. He can speak Sanskrit, Devanagari to the demigods. He can speak Braj Bhasha to the gopis. He can speak to the animals, the birds, and all these things. So this is the point that's being made here. This is the Lord's quality of speaking, but how does he speak to devotees? How does he speak to devotees? Very much affectionately, like a mother speaking to her child. A mother, her voice, she may even correct her child, or scold her child, but her voice is saturated with this deep, but vani, her vani is saturated with this motherly affection, this tender, loving affection like a mother. So God is the father, God is the mother, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dana Pran. So just imagine how the Lord is speaking to another devotee and how we should speak to other devotees, how we should speak to each other. Sometimes I don't know if our voices are mixed with Bhakta Vatsalata Vani. Something rough inside. Little sandpaper, little gasai, you know? Gasai paper. What do they call it? Gasai? That's sandpaper. And little mixed in our words. There's so much deep lessons in Gaurlila. Parama santoshe tabe vasai aila prabhura bikshara saja karita lagila. And great satisfaction and waiter returned home and made arrangements for Gauranga's meal. So now, even before Gauranga Mahaprabhu had come to his house, he was invited to come for prasad, or bhoga. And then he's remembering previous times when he had the cooking of Sita Devi, and he's glorifying the husband and the wife. If you glorify the wife, how happy the husband must feel. A genuine glorification for her qualities. So he hasn't even taken anything. He's already glorifying the taste and effect of her cooking. Now it goes back to the house and what is the response of Sita Devi? It's a whole leela, and it's why there's hundreds and hundreds of leelas, Lord Chaitanya. There's only a handful of leelas in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. There's so much to be learned from these leelas. And why these leelas? Like Krishna. Krishna, there's 20 demon-killing leelas in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada said on a tape that every day Krishna used to kill 2 demons before lunch. Every day, 2 rakshas would be mardan. Do rakshas, rose mardan. Krishna would kill 2 demons every day before lunchtime. It's good for appetite, I guess. Fighting gets your appetite built up. So that's 2 a day, all right? So he was here for 11 years, and that's 2 a day. We calculated once, I remember. That's 720 demons a year. 720 demons a year, and he's here for 10 years. So Krishna polished off about 8,000 demons in 11 years he was in Vrindavan. At 2 a day, you can calculate easy. It comes out about 8,000 demons he killed. There's only 20. So that means there are certain key demons, which in Krishna Samhita and Krishna Chaitanya Shikshamrita by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there are certain key demons which represent the major stumbling blocks and obstacles of anyone desirous of doing Braj Bhajan. Because we're talking about Braj, because the demons that he killed in this 10th canto in relation to Braj Leela are demons that have entered Braj. They've entered Braj and they've come between Krishna and his devotees. Just think about it from a little distant point. There's 20 demons. What are they actually doing? They're entering Braj and they're creating distance between Krishna and his devotees. They're upsetting the flow of love, the Akanda Prem. The Akanda Prem Ras, the continuous unbroken flow of their love. They're getting in the way. The coward boys are getting scared of this Kaliya and they're fainting on the banks. So how can Krishna play with his coward boyfriends when they're unconscious, Murcha, swooned on the banks of the Yamuna out of fear? And how can he give water to the cows when they drink the water from the Kalindi and they die? And how can he talk to the birds when they fly over the Kaliya Daha? The birds collide into the water and drown because of the burning fumes. He can't speak to his birds and the birds can't sing for him. So this basically, the demons that came in Braj Leela, they obstructed the flow of love between Krishna and his devotees. They were impediments. So that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that in Krishna Samhita, and as I mentioned, that these demons, 20 demons, they represent obstacles and impediments to the establishing of a loving relationship in Brajabhav between the jiva, the devotee in Ragmarg, and the Lord. So they must be removed from our consciousness and our mind by reading about and praying to the Lord for his mercy, especially invoking the mercy of Balaram for those powerful demons. And when these demons are removed and what they represent, the anarthas and ignorance and bad qualities that they represent, then the flow of our love can start to move towards the Lord, and he will reciprocate accordingly with the flow of his love moving into our hearts. So this is one side point. So now this particular Leela, now you can imagine how excited Sita Devi was. This is Sita Devi, who is the name of Advaita Acharya's wife. Lakshmi Amshe Janma Advaitera Pati Brata Lagila Karite Karya Hai Harashita. Like any virtuous, religious, dharmic housewife, when she finds out that some illustrious guests are coming, or any guests, and she's requested to cook, she becomes harsh. She becomes very happy and joyful, because it's a blossoming of her natural affection. The natural quality of a mother's affection blossoms when there's opportunities for nourishment, when there's opportunities to nourish and feed others, distribute the love, the happiness that a housewife or mother feels when there's guests, is the happiness is generated when her heart blossoms with desires to distribute her affection. So that's why oftentimes when a housewife cooks and serves guests, sannyasis, sadhus, relatives, friends, devotees, she feels so happy and so satisfied and fulfilled that she loses her hunger. And this is a sign of great devotion when one experiences such happiness. And maybe bhakti abhas, maybe just material happiness and satisfaction. But when one serves devotees, then it's spiritual happiness if they're initiated devotees. And you see in Parikshit Maharaj, he was relishing a taste of this Katha Shravan, hearing the Hari Katha Shravan from Shukadeva Goswami. He was such rasa swadanam. He was relishing such ras that he forgot about sleeping, he forgot about eating, and forgot about drinking water. Rasa aliyam pivitam. He was just drinking and drinking the ras of this Hari Katha Rasamritam. And he was so satisfied. So in the same way, the housewife feels so satisfied. So Advaita Acharya's wife, she's an expansion of Lakshmi. She was very joyfully and happily cooking for the Lord. Prabhura pritera dravya goda desha haite jatyani achena sava lagilena dite. Sita gave Advaita those items that were very dear to Gauranga, that she had personally carried with her from Bengal. So she so much wanted to please the Lord that she carried the boga for 2 months all the way from Shantipur and walked for 2 months all the way to Puri carrying those items, special vegetables and other spices for the Lord's pleasure. Randene Vasila Shri Advaita Mahashaya Chaitanya Chandrera Kari Ridaye Vigyaya. Advaita Mahashaya then meditated on Lord Chaitanya as he sat down and began cooking. Interesting way of cooking. Did you hear that? Sat down. Generally, when people come from the West or the big cities and they come to some village, oh, they're sitting down and cooking. How uncivilized. How primitive. I've never seen in Europe or America someone sit on the ground and cook. But this is Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu comes in Gaur Leela as Advaitacharya, and his wife is Lakshmi Devi. Sita Devi is Lakshmi Devi. Lakshminath and Lakshmi Devi. There's no shortage of chairs. There's no shortage of tables. They have a vast estate with all kinds of furniture and all kinds of beds and everything. But when it comes to cooking, they sit down on the floor and cook. Or some dais, some small raised platform. And they sit down on a dais to take the prasadam. Very interesting. Randane Vasila Sri Advaita Mahashaya Chaitanya Chandra Kari Vigyaya. Advaita Mahashaya then meditating Lord Chaitanya sat down and began cooking for him. So again, this is told, if you study the principles of deity worship, before one even does any puja, they do manasi seva. So someone has a deity, Gornitai, Jagannath, Radhan Krishna, Giridhari, Gurudev, whomever. Before they do the external puja, even with, in your invitee, sadhana, bhakti, and you're just beginning, this is the niyam, this is the rule of puja. You sit down, perform achman, then you meditate on the Ishtadev, whom you're about to worship. If you're about to worship Lord Gauranga and Lord Chaitanya, then first you invoke the form of your Diksha Guru in your mind. Invoke means you visualize, you close your eyes, or you have a picture and you look in picture. And perform achman, and then you meditate on Guru, chant some prayers to Guru. And then you pray to Guru to give you that shakti, to enter the Leela. To enter the eternal Leela of Radha and Krishna and Gornitai, say Gornitai. To worship them in their Leela, with the mood of bhav, and in with the various articles you're about to offer them. Externally, and now you meditate. Okay, now I'm bathing the Lord, I'm dressing the Lord, all these things step by step in krama that you would do. And then in meditation, you can offer so many more preparations. Instead of just pancha pradeep, you can offer a ghee lamp with 108 ghee wicks and many things. Instead of just offering your bowl of cereal with a piece of apple and orange juice that you're going to have for breakfast, which would be what you may intend to offer, some dried fruits or some dahlia or whatever, samosa or pancakes or whatever you may be eating, and then you put it on the Lord's plate. That may be externally what you offer, but internally you think, oh, Krishna likes too much kachoris and he likes this and that, and you meditate on all these things. Whole puja is done. And the whole time, and then why? So he's meditating Lord Chaitanya, then he sat down. He meditated on Lord Chaitanya, then he sat down. And the whole time he's cooking for Lord Chaitanya, he's meditating. So that means before we engage in a service, we perform that service in our meditation and offer even more elaborate service. Then we externally begin. So Advaita Acharya sits down, he places Lord Chaitanya. I'm going to serve Lord Chaitanya. I'm going to cook for Sakshat Lord Chaitanya. And then he thinks of him and he meditates on what he's going to cook and so many things. And then he begins cooking and he keeps in his mind the deity that he's cooking for. In this case is Ishtadev, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I remember one godbrother of mine was cooking in Krishnamalaram temple. And during the offering, we were also doing puja and we came and we asked him something. Where is some ghee for ghee lamps or whatever, ghee wicks, whatever. And he just went like this. He said, "Don't disturb me, I'm meditating. I'm in meditation." He said, he very firmly went like choop, choop. "Don't disturb me, I'm in meditation." And of course, it appeared that he was. There were 10 different stoves going at the same time. He had 10 different stoves and 30 kilos of milk over here and 20 kilos of milk here, cooking, making kheer here and daily sweets here and sabjis and 8 pressure cookers tipping off and this and that. So it's a meditation, not only in the physical workings of cooking, but in this case, the primary meditation is meditating on the Ishtadev. And where's the question, with that type of preparation, where's the question of any imperfection? First, there's a mental preparation by Manasik Seva. And then, when one is actually performing a service, the whole time one is remembering, this is for my Thakurji, and remembering. This is the ideal time for one to meditate on the Lord when one is cooking. Of course, chanting japa. Oh, I chant japa. We think. Generally think that chanting japa is a meditative experience. Of course it is. And it should be a deep, profound one at that. Should chant alone, in a quiet place, without any distraction, without any sound or cell phones or any objects moving in front of your eyes, people going this way, that way. Should be a closed room, just Tulsi, Thakurji. Just totally divine arrangement for a profound meditational experience of chanting japa, not people running back and forth between the kitchen and the Didi room and here and there like some train station. People going back and forth in front of your vision, kids going to school and getting ready and tiffins and this, that. This is not the way. Impossible. But then, who can imagine that cooking is a meditation? I mean, they write cookbooks like that in the West, cooking as a meditation or the catchy titles or whatever. But here, Advaitacharya, he's meditating while cooking. So this is something to consider when we also, everyone's cooking regularly and we're all devotees making offerings. We should see this as an opportunity. Meditation is a practice, dharana. You have to withdraw the mind from any external thing. So you know the rudiments of cooking. So I'm going to cook this. And the whole time you try to see your Lord everywhere. And you're even remembering that, oh Krishna, you know, I'm cooking this for you. And now how should I do it? You have to reveal to me. You're meditating on him by praying for guidance. You're meditating on your Lord by remembering his actual form. You're meditating on him by staying moment to moment, staying in tune with his wish. Well, I'm putting this spice. Should I put this too? Oh, yes. You may know, but you may see variations. I remember my godbrother, Indra, when he was dressing the deities in Vrindavan, then he was telling me, I said, what is your meditation? What are you doing out there? Because sometimes I would bathe the deity on the Ekadasi and Radhakrishnam, and then he was dressing on the weekends especially. So he said, I'm just thinking that I'm dressing Shyam, because he used to like to dress Shyam. And then the Mukunda Datta would dress Radharani in the Mandir of Krishna Balam. So then he said, I'm thinking that Radharani's actually, how can I dress Krishna? Radharani's dressing Krishna. And every moment I'm just praying to Radharani, looking at Radharani, and I'm praying to Radharani, please guide me. How should I dress? What color? How should I tie this kammerbund? How should I make this chadar go like this and fold? So he was always meditating and seeing himself. I'm doing this. Radharani is actually doing this. So very deep meditation. And of course, so much backing of devotion and tapabalam and experience altogether made a wonderful result. As everyone well knows, his Shringar was stupendous. Beauty, beautiful arrangement. So now this is Advaitacharya's approach to this seva. Pati brata vyanjanera paripati kare yateka prakara kare jena chitte spure. The chaste wife, that's what it means here, pati vrata, one who is following that vrata to be chaste to her husband. The chaste wife Sita Devi made preparations for cooking different vegetables according to the inspiration that manifested in her heart. Interesting. So she obviously is a self-manifested cookbook, a self-swayam cookbook, just manifested from within her own heart. This is a sportia, recipe sporty. She's having sporties or visions of unique, special recipes. You can imagine if God was coming for lunch, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Bhagavan, and Advaitacharya knew it. He had darshan of Sadbhuj Mahaprabhu. He saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has six arms, and two arms is Ram, and two arms is Krishna, and two arms is Gauranga. And Sita, I saw it. Huh? Because as you know, husbands tell their wives everything, or not everything, but many things, and vice versa. So certainly Advaita would have told his wife, who's also a great devotee, that guess what? Our Gauranga is our Krishna, and our Krishna is our Ram. And he showed me the Sadbhuj. So they're well aware, even before his birth, they came to worship because they knew. And so now, if God was coming to your house, then how much you'd be thinking, I don't want to just open a recipe book. Oh, I can open this recipe book and say A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Okay, that's one way. Or do I have some special favorites? Because every artist, he learns the theory and principles of art, and then he creates his own style, does things his own way. So now she's praying, she's saying, she's so much absorbed in praying, I wanted to make something special, unique, different, he's never had before, and I'll never forget. So she's praying like this, and what happens? That prakar kare yena chitta spure, in her consciousness, in her chitta, some unique inspiration manifested. So this is what happens. When there's, how do you get an inspiration? We say in Hindi, prerna. Prerna? Prerna means inspiration. So where does inspiration come from? Inspiration means, what? Inspire. Inspire means, like above a church, there's a spire. So if you're in the spire, you're with God. So inspiration means that which comes from God. Inspiration. So how do we get inspiration? When we have intense desire to please. This is a proof of reciprocation with the Lord in the heart. And you don't have to be a Bhava Bhakta or a Premi Bhakta or a Shuddha Bhakta. You simply have to be sincere. You have to be a Shuddha Anvata. You have to have intense faith to the point of surrender. Oh, I have faith in God. Yes, I believe in God. Are you ready to surrender? No. Are you ready to follow any dharmic niyams? No. Well, your faith is weak. Komala Shraddha. Because as faith Shraddha increases, so does Sharanagati proportionately. When we have more faith and then realization of God, then we surrender more. So one of the basic symptoms of significant developed faith is that one surrenders and agrees to follow the regulative principles. He gives up, basically, when you have enough faith in God, you start to give up sense gratification and realize that I must tread the path to God. I have that much faith. So giving up the path of sense gratification means following the four regulative principles. So when we intensely desire to please Krishna, intensely and purely desire to please Krishna and Guru, then because of that intense pure desire, a loving pure desire to please Sri Guru, Sri Krishna, then Krishna from in the heart, he gives inspiration. Tesham satatayuktanam vachitam pritipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yena mam upyantite. This is the prerna. The prerna is the inspiration, idea. Oh, I can do this. Because I've had the experience myself visiting sadhus, and don't want to go empty-handed. But I don't want to buy the ritualistic apple, banana, this or that. So I was going visiting one sadhu, and I was thinking, I was a very poor person and don't have much, you know, Lakshmi. I said, what can I give to this sadhu that's really useful and practical? And I was observing over the days what the situation was. I realized there's always a shortage of pens, kalam, pen. And every time he's saying, oh, he's asking his brahmachari, you have a pen? And the brahmachari said, well, there was one on your desk, but some other brahmachari took that from Guru's desk and didn't bring it back. So then I thought, okay, I'll buy a pack of 10 pens. So then one day I went, he said, oh, this is very nice. This is very good. And then anybody that came that morning when we were having darshan, he said, look what he bought. He bought me a bag of so 10 pens is like 50 rupees or something, whatever. It wasn't some costly thing. But I thought very deeply, what can I give? And then Krishna gave inspiration, give this. And then I gave that. So my own experience is when you deeply think and desire to give, offer something, then Krishna will inspire you to give exactly a wonderful thing. Because Krishna is in the heart of everyone, and he knows the desires and needs of everyone, especially his devotees. So when you key in to the devotee and think, I want to give something useful and practical and appreciable, then what can I do? And then Krishna will say, I know what's going on here. I'm observing everything here, what he needs, what's useful and practical. Then Krishna will dictate to you, get this. So that's what's happening to Sita Devi. Oh my Lord, he's coming. My Lord Prabhu, my Gauranga is coming. I want to make a wonderful feast, something extraordinary never had before. What to do? How can I just make something out of nothing? Then, in America, the scientists call the aha principle. Aha. They're trying to discover some solution to some formula or invention, the final point that will make some invention or some new medicine or whatever. And they're pondering it over and they're experimenting day after day trying to find that solution or that missing point. And all of a sudden, they're just sitting somewhere on a bench in a park and in a quiet moment somewhere. And all of a sudden, this is it, that's it. Has anyone had this experience? You're trying to solve something, or you say, aha, that's it. And then what is that, aha, that's it? It's because it's not the Akashvani, it's not some Gandharva whispering in your ear, although it could be also. But it's actually the Lord whispering in the heart, giving the idea, giving the solution. Because he's very much, especially devotees, the more one becomes advanced in bhakti like this, the more he experiences the inner guide speaking and telling him what to do. Shakke Ishvarera Bhara Priti Iha Jani Nana Sakshaka Dilena Prakara Dasha Ani. Sita Devi knew Gauranga was very fond of spinach or shak, so she gave it weight to 10 varieties of shak she had brought. So apparently, it weighed the acharya's cooking. Generally, traditionally, the Brahmins, the men would often cook. Prabhupada tells one tape that if 10 Brahmins would go on a yatra, they're going, say 10 Brahmins are going from Mayapur to Ganga Sagar, let's say a bigger yatra, they're going to Kumbh Mela, 10 Brahmins. So 10 Brahmins and their wives, Vanaprast. So they're traveling together, and each one carries their own small pots and pans for cooking. And when they heard this? And when they stop somewhere to make camp or to stay over, then all the ladies will go out and try to catch some dry wood here and there, and paper, whatever, leaves, whatever they can. They'll bring them back, and they'll cut up vegetables. And the 10 Brahmins, there's a party of 10 families. They're all friends. They're from the same village. And then they'll have 10 different stoves. And each Brahmin will be making his own bhoga, the man, and the wife will be assisting. And the Prabhupada said, why is this? Because they only want to eat from their own hand. And they're each carrying a shalagram. Each Brahmin is carrying a shalagram. So you're supposed to do personal puja yourself. So the pujari is the Brahmin, the pati, so he's cooking himself. So here at Vaitacharya, he's cooking. The wife is bringing the vegetables. Now this is a twist. Ask the modern husbands, okay, here's the vegetables, you cook. But Vaitacharya, he cooked, and his chaste wife assisted. And this way they both floated in an ocean of happiness. Dui jana base jaina ananda sagari. So see, I mean, if someone in modern days, if some housewife reads this, the pastimes of Gauranga, she could misuse these. She could say, look here in this example, this ideal grihastha couple, Advaitacharya and Sita Devi. See, look, the husband's cooking and the wife's assisting. Okay, you don't want to cook. Okay, I'll cook, but will you assist me like Sita Devi assisted Vaitacharya? Will you get the vegetables? Will you assist me? And when you feel very happy, will you float with me? Oh, husband, will you come float with me in an ocean of happiness as we go in the kitchen together and prepare the dinner? And what will the husband say? Hell no. You cook yourself. I'm going to watch TV. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to the gym. I'll be home later. You just have it ready. Meal's ready. Tiffin's ready. So there's something extraordinary here in the mood of loving cooperation with a husband and wife, believe it or not. Of course, that was 500 years ago, so the time factor has taken its toll. Advaita Balena Shuna Krishna Dasera Mata Tomare Kahi Jayami Eka Mana Katha. Advaita said, this is such culture. The Krishna, Krishna is really amazing. This is, Prabhupada often talks about it. He says, O mother of Krishnadas, Krishnadas Mata. He's talking to his wife. Advaitacharya's wife's name is Sita Devi. So he's not addressing her as, Hey Sita! Hey Sita! Or, hey, hey. He's saying, Oh mother, listen, oh mother, she's the mother of their son. Advaita, they had six sons, Advaita and his wife, so one of them was named, his name was Krishnadas. Let me tell you what I'm thinking. So, Prabhupada, this is amazing, the culture. It says in public that a husband would never speak the name of his wife. Prabhupada gives an example on a tape that a wife calls the husband. He's working, he's at the factory, maybe he owns the factory, and like 100 years ago. The wife would call the husband, say hello, and then the secretary answers. And says, and then the wife would answer and says, "This." The wife will say this, this is the wife of Mr. Jones. Is Mr. Jones there? I'll say, this is Mr. Gupta Kapatni or whatever. This is the wife of Mr. Gupta. Is Mr. Gupta there? This is the wife calling for the husband. And in the West, the wife will call up and the secretary will answer, hey, hello, yeah, is Jack there? Where's Jack? Give me. I want to speak to Jack. Jack means her husband. So it's a little bit informal to the max. So this now we see the same thing 500 years ago. We, you know, you introduce the Pandavas. When the Pandavas would each introduce themselves, what would they say? They say, I'm Arjun. They say, no, I am so and so Kaputra. I am Pandava Kaputra. I am Gandiva Raj. They would identify themselves. They wouldn't just say, oh, don't you know who I am? I'm Muhammad Ali. You know? So it's always you're always identified by your relationship. And they say that the acharyas say that Krishna likes too much when we chant names where his devotees are mixed there. It's called yugalnam. So if we say, oh Nimai Nimai Nimai, or if we say Goranga Goranga, it's very good, very powerful. But actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna and Radha, they like names where they're there, and their devotees there. For example, what is a more appealing name to Gauranga, to Gauranga's ears? Is he might like it more when you say Gora, Gauranga, or is it when you say Sachinandan? Sachinandan. Because he's the Nandan, the son of. Nandan means the son of. Nandan, Nandan. You can say, oh, Krishna. But if you say Nanda Dulal, Yashoda Dulal, or you say, oh, Radha Priya, you're Radha Priya. So Krishna's Radha Priya, very dear to Radha. Krishna Priya Radha. That's one of her names. Krishna Mayi, Krishna Priya. So how much Radharani likes, of course, Radharani's Priyaji, Priyaji Priyatam. But how much she likes Nam where Krishna's there? Isn't it? Radhanath. This is Krishna, he's the Lord of Radha. But it's Yugalnam. It's actually Yugalnam. So, when one is in Madhurya, Madhurati, if he's in cultivating interest in Radha and Krishna, then he'll want too much Yugalnam, names of Radha and Krishna. Any name of Krishna where Radha is there. Any name of Radha where Krishna is there. And if someone is in Muda Vatsalya, worshipping Radha and Krishna as their son, then they want all these kind of names, or the names of Gauranga, Sachinandan, Gopal, or Nanda Dulal, Yashoda Dulal. These type of Nandan Nandan. And someone is worshipping in Sakyavras, in the mood of a coward boy, they don't want names all like Subal Saka. Like Krishna's name, there's Subal Saka, but then there's Subal Saka means a friend of Subal, is the name for Krishna. So he'll like names, he will want to chant all names of Krishna that are, the coward boys are there. Like we say Rohini Nandan. We can say Balaram, Baladev, Sankarshan, these are the names that Gargamuni gave. So his name is Ram, his name is Balaram, his name is Shankarshan, because of different qualities and activities that Balaram would engage in. But he's Rohini Nandan, he's the son of Rohini Mata. So this way, this is a nice, very nice point, oh mother of Krishnadas. And then, the husband and wife are so much cooperating together to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Wife's bringing all the vegetables and everything, making preparation, and the husband's cooking. And she's getting inspired to make different offerings and preparations and telling her husband, apparently. and maybe also cooking. And then he's saying, listen, I'm having an intuition. I'm having some intuition, and I'll tell you what it is. Jate kichu eimora karilon sambhav sambara. Can't really see very clearly. Sambara. Kon rupe prabhu sabha karina sri swikara. Oh, then his Devi, his wife, and Advaita says, I don't know how, but somehow I want the Lord to relish everything that we have cooked. That's not easy. God is not an easy man to please. You can imagine. So he's having this strong intuition. This is what he's thinking. Listen, Sita Devi, listen, my wife, O Patni, I want to tell you what I'm thinking. I really want, this is what I want, that the Lord will fully relish everything. And then it goes, we'll find out in a couple of days why he has hesitation about that. Why he's fearing that possibly he may not, Gauranga may not relish everything. And we have to hear the next class to find out why that is. Chaitanya Bhagavat Ki Jai.